the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The last time I stood here, David Scare was a young man. And I was a boy. But standing here again, I'm not sure how Dr. Scare feels, but I feel very young. Standing here where people have spoken God's word to so many people, among people whose regular vocation it is to speak God's word, either from pulpit or from choir loft, makes me wonder whether I made the right decision to say yes. And then the text that came was from Lamentation. Like anybody here knows what it means to lament. Our Lord in Matthew chapter 11 says, "To what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces calling to their playmates. We played a flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn." Well, nobody knows how to mourn and sing a dirge like Jeremiah. "We sang a dirge and you did not mourn," but who would sing a dirge in a seminary like this? Who would admit in God's house to raising the lament of despair in church work vocations directed to serve God's people? Whose voice would be raised out loud to admit that there is any fear within, any sense of helplessness, or maybe even hopelessness? But that is exactly the point. All of us have sung the dirge. All of us have raised our voice to the lament within. For some of us, it is the typical litany of complaint. Life is not fair. God is not fair. For others, it is the more somber confession that our lives are in ruin as vast as the sea. And yet how it wounds us to admit that we cannot restore ourselves and no one else can restore us. The prophets have been sent forth in every generation, and in this school of prophets, they are ready to be sent forth still. Today, six more will receive their calls. But even prophets can get lost in the terrors of rejection and in their desire to be loved and admired and respected. Indeed, therein lies the weakness in all of us who would serve the Lord in this way. There are those prophets who have failed to expose the iniquity of God's people, who have proposed false and misleading dreams in place of the word of the Lord that endures forever. It is not new to our time or to our age. All the world loves it, of course, when the people of God betray their sinfulness, when they surrender their bodies to temptation, when they surrender their hearts to iniquity. All the world loves it when the high and mighty fall lower than low. Is this the city that is called the perfection of beauty? Is this the city that was the joy of all the earth? Look around you, people. The world is an evil place. You have enemies. The enemies of God and His gospel are hidden in every twist and turn of life. They have no need to resort to the hidden and deceptive means of confounding God's church. They don't need to make relative eternal truth. They don't need to raise questions about the historicity of Adam or the resurrection of Jesus. All they need to do is to point to you, God's flawed and failed people, the beloved of the Lord, whose thoughts, words, and deeds have tarnished the shine of God's glory placed in you in your creation, whose willfulness has refused correction, who have allowed your desire to reign over truth and your self-interest over love for neighbor. Your hearts have chosen the moment over eternity, and sometimes it seems as if God has left you without any pity at all, for he has made your enemy rejoice over you, and he has turned you into the victim of your foes. Every prophet's weakness is his desire to be loved, admired, respected, and liked. Take that to heart, especially those whom we will send forth today, as well as those who are waiting for their day. None of us wants to speak the dirge. None of us wants to raise the voice of lament. None of us wants to be speakers to people who do not want to hear what we have to say. The lament of Jeremiah is strong against the sinner, but it is even stronger against the prophets who spoke peace when there was no peace, who let God's people wander through their endless journey of defeats and despair without any comfort and without any healing. They did not expose their sin. They did not proclaim their guilt. And therefore, they left God's people helpless and hopeless, without comfort, exposed to the crosshairs of God's eternal judgment. We are here to say, only God can restore his people. The faithful preaching of the prophet leads the people of God to see that the judgment of God against them is for their benefit, to bring them to repentance, so that they can say, the Lord has done what he has purposed. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. And then by the prompting of the Spirit, they can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Only the Lord can restore his fallen people. That is the message of the faithful prophet. And this indeed he has done through his Son, through his blood and sweat, through his agony and death, through his righteous living and his glorious resurrection. If you read past the text for today, you do find some good news. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The same Lord who lays bare the festering souls of our lives, filled with sin, cuts to kill what is already dead and to give new life where there was only death. This same Lord who speaks in righteous judgment against God's people's sin, clothes them now with righteousness to cover their sin, a righteousness that is not their own. This same Lord who brought destruction can rebuild his broken people and raise them to heights they could never imagine, replacing their despair with joy that is unimaginable. So great is that which God has prepared for those whom he loves. Read past the text and you find, why should a man complain about the judgment of his sins? We have transgressed. We have rebelled. There is no comfort in comfortable lies, only in the truth. We are not left without hope, for he who has condemned us has the power to restore us. More than that, he has the will and desire to restore us. More than that, he has restored us through the blood of his Son that cleanses us from all sin. The Lord will not cast us off forever. Though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Every day we test this promise, and every day we examine our ways, and it leads us to repentance under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to return to the Lord our God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, the one who has the power to lift high our heads and our hearts, and to use our hands and our voices in his labor. If you hear, repent, and believe this gospel, And if you would speak, then dare to speak the truth to sin and the power of the death that gives life to the dead. And if you would study, then study to show yourself as one approved, so that you may be found the faithful prophet for God's people and may lead them to the true comfort of Jesus Christ, his Son, the crucified one who has healing in his blood. And then rejoice. Don't forget to rejoice, for this dirge has a purpose, and this lament has an outcome, and it is the salvation of our souls. This dirge is our confession. Under the guidance of the Spirit, this lament becomes the voice of repentance. This threat of destruction has a godly purpose in us. Its word cuts so that it may heal. It brings redemption to those who deserve nothing. It brings hope to a people who have no hope. It brings life to those who live in the shadow of death. And this redemption has a face. This hope has a name. This life has a voice. Jesus Christ. God has not given us the justice we think we need, but he has given us the mercy that saves us, that we dare not ask and none of us deserve. Let this be the brave voice that ushers forth from those who are sent in his name. And if it is, God will not fail. God will not fail us. He will not fail his kingdom. He will not fail the people who hear his word. Not then, not now, not ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As many of you know, the 2007 Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod established the Specific Ministry Pastors Program as a way of providing pastors for those congregations who are unable, for whatever reason, to provide for a pastor who has been residentially trained. Those now 7 years of continuing development and 4 years of hard work by the students to be received in our third completing class today, we now celebrate. The SMP program involves 4 years of coursework, much of it by distance, but in our CTS SMP program, each fall quarter, the men come on campus for an intensive residential course as well. Now, having completed the SMP program, these men will continue to be under the supervision of a general ministry pastor, although we rejoice that many of them are, or in the process soon will be, in the process of completing general ministry pastor preparation by the Master of Divinity program or by alternate route options as well. Now, we want to give today huge thanks to those who are involved in the program, and most specifically to Reverend William Johnson, who is our technical man, and the technology for a program like this is essentially, is absolutely vital. Also to Nancy Raber, our department secretary, without whom, believe it or not, men, you wouldn't be finishing up now, and I wouldn't be doing this, that's quite sure. Our program has four goals, two of which we see embodied today. The first of those four goals for the CTS SMP program is that our SMP students recognize themselves as and be recognized as very real Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne students. Along with that, we also want to advance the goal of excellence in their preparation for the office of the Holy Ministry, and we believe these men also embody that. The third class of SMP students to complete the program will now present themselves to be recognized. Fred A. Gady, SMP Assistant Pastor, Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, West Chicago, Illinois, Northern Illinois District. In absentia, Reinhold W. Kaufman, SMP Associate Pastor, Living Word Lutheran Church, Plymouth Township, Michigan, Michigan District. David E. Rossow, SMP Associate Pastor, New Life Community Lutheran Church, Schwartz Creek, Michigan, Michigan District. In absentia, Michael K. Shannon, SMP Pastor, Faith Lutheran Church, Shreveport, Louisiana, Southern District. In absentia, Alan M. Toe, SMP Assistant Pastor, Grace Lutheran Church, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Mid-South District. Russell S. Tack, SMP Pastor, Peace Lutheran Church, Waterford, Michigan, Michigan District. God's blessings to you men as you continue to serve the Lord in the places where you have been called.